Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Please call roll.
Tom Wyszynski.
Here.
Tom Gostecki.
Present.
Anthony Broadnax.
Present.
Derek Nimitz.
Present.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Here. All right, let's roll. Approval of the minutes from October 11th, 2017. I'm assuming all you gentlemen and ladies have read the minutes. Any motions, modifications, changes? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, they're in the records for everybody to look at into perpetuity. Next is the chairman's report. Short, sweet for me. It's been one of those days, folks. So, again, please keep in mind September 2008, having to do with what happens when a man-made structure has significant deferred maintenance. Again, we're trying to maintain a system that's controlling Mother Nature. Good luck with that. If we get 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have an issue. However, we are far more prepared than we were prior to the event of 2008. A lot of work happened from communities across the area. We should be very proud. As we continue to move forward, we're going to keep moving as a community to make sure events like that don't occur in the future, or at least limit them significantly. By completing this project, as Dan had informed us last month, it's the first time in the history of the project that the entire system has been certified. We've been able to save quite a few folks from having to pay mandatory flood insurance as a part of their mortgage. I think that's a good thing. Calculated about $4 million a year, and that's every year that they don't have to, pay that to the mortgage company, and that gets put back into the community, and that's a good thing. Gets a little messy when nobody talks about this kind of stuff, but sometimes stormwater and basic infrastructure stuff is messy. But that's part of what we're supposed to take care of, and water does not know geopolitical lines. Moving forward, we're just going to try to continue to look at it as a holistic situation and look at the big picture and try to make sure we solve problems for those who come after us. They don't have to deal with something like September 2008. That said, next up is the finance report. We have to approve of the claims for November 17th. We need a motion to be able to do that. Help me out, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the claims in the amount of $1,026,895.98.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. That enables us to let Mr. Rickley know we're paying the bills. I can tell you, when you see this kind of number, remember when we didn't have any money? Let's get it fixed. What would it say you, sir?
Yeah, and I heard a couple of groans from the crowd when the $1 million came across. But if you can pretty much reduce it to about 7 claims here, and all of which are a part of the overall project that we have bid out and that are now coming to a conclusion now that the weather is changing and people need to complete their projects. So we will start with some simple ones. Town of Griffith for $50,000 reimbursement. That's a part of an agreement. The agreement is in your packet that they maintain Katie Marsh Ditch for us, and so long as they pass their operation and maintenance and their inspections through the Corps, they receive this reimbursement to cut the grass and spray where it needs to be and make sure the pumps are working. So that was instituted, I believe, about 3 or 4 years ago. Town of Winfield, $20,243 for the tree program. We have a budget for $150,000 to encourage people and communities to plant trees within their parks and along waterways. If you remember, 5 years ago, where 3,700 trees were removed because of the elm and the ash bug. So this is a way to sort of try to make that whole again. $250,000 for the watershed project for the Griffith levee. If you remember, they presented to us And that was approved by this board, so that is this payment. After we recorded the interlocal agreement that we entered in with them, with between us and the town of Griffith. For Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, our pump station contractor, they go out and check them on a monthly basis. If there's ever issues with the pump stations, they help fix it. That's $7,800 and some change. We had some fencing issues. Some were vandalized. Some were vandalized by some people that I don't know if they know how to drive anywhere near fences. And that was for $16,350. We had clear blockages off the railroad trestle off of Kennedy Avenue for the amount of $7,800. That's a pretty dangerous area because of all the pipelines that run through that area, and there's got to be some serious coordination between all those gas companies and us while we're driving anywhere near that area. The Chase Street manhole rehabilitation project is complete, and that's the remaining $16,350 for that for R.A. Oros. And now we'll go to some of the bigger ones. Walsh and Kelly for $280,745.69 for the Gary North Levee paving project. There is still some work to do over there, but that's a large number, as well as Walsh Kelly for $116,532 for the Hammond paving. Once again, they have some touch-up work to do, and we have to make sure that they take care of all of our punch list items. Patrick Engineering for $62,700 for the railroad bridge over Deep River. They're approximately 80-some percent complete with most of their permits in hand. They've got some issues that we have to deal with as far as temporary work easements, but overall they still should be complete, I would imagine, by December, so we can bid it out in spring and we can start construction on it in 2018. Garcia for $2,300 for parcel data. If you don't know, this is how we assess the taxpayers, is we have to make sure that these fees are done on the proper parcels, and that changes every year. It changes monthly, and so this year it was due. The data was due to the county by October 31st. We've accomplished that, unlike some other entities, and so it will be on the 17-18 tax bill. And hopefully we'll have as little of corrections as possible. And then $8,468 for pump station legal descriptions as a part of acquiring the necessary land easements and instruments. We had to outline the pump stations, and then ultimately the next step, which is what we're going through at this point, is getting the title work done for these pump stations. And then ultimately either getting donations from the political subdivisions or purchasing the easements so that we are in compliance with our federal partners' requirement to have a land interest in all these pump stations. And all of those dollars that I mentioned, from title search to appraisal to the legal descriptions, ultimately to the offer or donation, are all credible to the project. And I'm going to make Natalie say yes. That way I get guaranteed approval. It's a joke. I don't know, she's probably not laughing so much back there. But I think I've covered a lot of the main ones. If I missed something that was of interest to you, we did replace a hose and a sprinkler for $50.26 because our lawnmower guy ran it over, and that was her favorite hose. So everyone has a favorite hose, and so...
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Repay on the claims?
What was the water testing?
Oh, thanks. That's... we tend to do this on occasion. Sometimes once we do it once a year. We don't really have a set month, but we also believe that there was some potential dumping. Won't describe the exact area. And so we incorporated that test in with our testing. And by the way, we did, where's Dave at? Dave, we did test the natural spring as well, so that we can make sure that how it came up, and it appears that it came up fine. And we're having someone analyze it from the Munster Water Department to give us what they believe. But according to the EPA standards, most of them, all of it was within reason or non-detected as far as a bad substance, except for maybe in that area that someone may or may not have done something that they shouldn't have.
Good enough.
Okay.
You can't make some of this stuff up.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? We have a motion and a second. Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gosdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Paying the bills, yes. All right, Dan, you're still up.
Well, I mean, besides those projects that we're doing, the only really other large matter that we're facing, you know, we did get a lot of rain, and we're working with a lot of municipalities on some of their technical issues, but we did have a small issue at Burr South. I did send you guys some pictures from what occurred there. There was a log somehow, I don't have no idea how the log got past two trash racks, but it got into one of our pumps, and ultimately we had to drain the entire pit, and we got the log out, and now the pump is running. So that was a good thing, and maybe next time when I have the new computer, I will project that on the new screen so that you can see what it looks like to be 22 feet below Burr Street.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool picture.
We'll just leave them wanting, I guess, what they think it might look like. So beyond those projects, we continue to develop the strategy of planning for a large construction season, be it Harrison, be it Kennedy, which they still commit to the fact that it will be bid out in summer of 18. 35th and Chase are all construction projects that will occur, and not to mention the railroad that I've already talked about, to be a large construction season for us. With all the levees being paved, we'll have some small maintenance issues to deal with, but you know, between those bridges and roads, reducing the amount of sandbags needed for this operation, that's our main focus at this point, making sure certainly that we not only pass inspections this year, but also in the future years. And so we'll maintain our normal maintenance of the pumps and the walls and the levees to ensure that that happens. That's all. Unless you have a question.
I do.
Okay.
What about the railroad work happening at Hobart?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay. Sorry.
Is your phone on stun, evidently?
Yeah, something's going on. Sorry.
That's all right.
All right. Anybody else have questions for Dan? My apologies.
That's okay.
No?
Yes, a couple questions. Broadway Avenue Sewer, it seems like we went and entered into an agreement with somebody, that I don't recall who.
Structure Point,
that's mm-hmm. right. And we see nothing? I mean, what's the issue? And this got to be 6 months ago.
It's been a few months, and you know, we've signed the agreement, and the agreement was good, and I think they billed on us last month, if I remember correctly, some small amount, but we don't, it's, you know, we don't tell them to hurry up. It's them, and actually between them and the Gary Sanitary District, who is actually the person most wanting this, and we want it too for our purposes, but I could ask them what their delay is. Maybe it's...
And the same thing with Kennedy Avenue Bridge. I don't understand why we're so far into an award and they've completed 14% of their work.
Well, we had a little holdup in the beginning on the contract, just on some matters, but they... And I looked at it the same way. It's, I think it's 18% billed out to us on design, and yet they still commit to July, and because when I was going through all the claims, it wasn't matching up with the dates that they're saying, but they still commit to that, and quite honestly, I've asked them to give us a presentation either December or likely January to give us some idea of what those plans look like.
Can we lean on them a little bit heavier on that? I'd like to see some. I don't want us to be rushing to get something out at the last minute. I mean, we're going into the late season. Obviously, you can do engineering all the time, but there's got to be, you know, bid period, you know, it's government, 90 days this, 90 days that. We're 2 months away from, it seems like, needing to have that out almost on the street, 2-3 months away.
They said that they would have it on the street in the summer, which I said June, July, they said yes. So I'm assuming
it's July 31st.
Is it too much to ask for a timeline?
Yeah,
you can ask for a timeline. Sure, we could ask for a timeline.
Yeah, I was just going to say some sort of a schedule that says where they're at, when the next. I mean, I think the public, we ought to, at least for our benefit, we ought to see progress, you know, kind of what it looks like compared to what they said it was going to look like on the artist rendition when they proposed on it to make sure
everything's still going along. You got a period of bid period, you got a work period, and then you got to walk back from there. They may look at this, say, uh-oh, we're in big trouble here. We got to spend some time designing this thing.
Right.
And that's a concern.
I mean, my initial concern was we hadn't seen drawings, but then if that matches up with the draws, the billing, that's another issue for me. If they're only 18% complete, as to Tom's point, 8 months after award or whatever, what are they actually doing?
I will ask for a timeline. You'll have it.
Hey, excuse me, I got to pass the gavel. I got to take some telephone calls sometime. Can you run this for me?
Yeah.
And congratulations on finishing all the manholes. Are we done?
I think we're done. I'm pretty sure unless we find something. Well, there may be some on the north side by Broadway on the north side of the river, but you would have to lift up roads and things. But as far as going south, you're good and protected going that way.
Doubling back, Dan, we're going to ask for a timeline from DLZ. Can we also ask Structure Point as well?
On the design, man, yeah,
the
gotcha.
Broadway Avenue. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, thanks.
Okay. Ms. Mills, update from Army Corps.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. With respect to Hobart Marsh Wetland Mitigation Contract, they're continuing to make good progress out on the site. They're continuing with herbiciding, plantings. If you note in the, did you get the construction?
I did. They got them.
Okay. So in the construction progress report, we do have a couple of modifications that are pending. You can see it on page 2 of 3, which you'll see PDT issues. So one is the removal of hazard trees along roads and power lines, and that's basically a safety issue. Some trees that were identified after the contract award that would need to be basically removed. So we have a working estimate of $150,000. We haven't received the contractor's proposal yet for this tree removal, so once I know what the price is.
Yeah. We didn't know trees were there? Did they just grow?
They did not just grow. I don't think we knew that they were going to pose the risk that we anticipate. Bearing in mind that this is 355 acres, so, I mean, we didn't anticipate everything. So this is just something that did come up. I know Derek's been...
Yeah, so I actually took a look at all those trees, and the reality is, I was in the field at the time of the estimate with the Army Corps and AES, Applied Ecological Services. I recommended reducing the number of trees to be impacted. So there were areas identified as hazard trees. I looked at them, sized them up, and said that they should remain standing as part of the mitigation and still meet the mitigation expectations. So there were areas that actually were identified that we said, no, let them stay.
Okay.
Most of the trees that they're talking about are either along Liverpool Road and have utility lines growing up within them.
Okay.
But they're also along things like bike trails, so it's more pedestrian type issues.
Are we going to remove them completely, or are we going to grow them back?
I think some of them are completely, some of them are going to be, it depends.
These aren't the trees, though, that you said should remain standing. I mean,
correct.
There's no conflict.
No, that's correct. So say there were 200 trees. I said, you know, these don't need to be cut down. Okay.
So that number, once we receive their proposal, could be a lot less now that they've had the meeting.
So the 150,000 is your number, is basically the Corps' estimate prior to receiving their estimate.
Correct.
You're giving you an order, a high order of magnitude.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay.
Great. Rather than saying 50,000, it's 150,000. Mm-hmm. Once they actually give the number. And then there's some additional gullies. We did previously execute a modification for gullies back in September, but these are newly discovered gullies in this Quail Hollow location. And some of these are not realized until they do start cutting some of these trees back, and then they see that these gullies have developed. Because I keep asking, like, we didn't know about this prior to, but they insist on telling me that they did not. So I don't have a cost on that yet, but once I do, I'll share. Well, that's it on Hobart. And then moving on to the Hammond tiebacks, you know, that work is completed. They're just, the contract is still open for the grass, basically, in the spring. As far as the Lomar, so far all I've got was a notification or acknowledgement, rather, excuse me, from FEMA that they did receive our packet. If they needed additional information, they would provide it to us in writing. If otherwise, anticipate a response within 90 days. So that's all I know with that for now. I may just send a courtesy email. We're still here. Let's see if I can get any additional information. Lastly, I just wanted to give an update on crediting. We did recently approve $800,000 in credits just for like project cooperation team costs, for like the admin costs and the long-standing old poker jack packages. That was finally approved. And on a really good note, that we got approval for $3.3 million in credits for utility relocation. So that's really good and really great news. And I just wanted to thank Jody and Dan, as well as Ron, as well as the staff at Dawson Associates, because without all of their assistance from the whole team, we wouldn't have credited that much. So really good news.
Good.
Still a long way to go with crediting, but I mean, that's a huge step.
Big strides, long way.
Anything else?
I have a question, Mr.
Chair. Go ahead.
Back on, maybe it's a question, joint question for Ms. Mills and Mr. Repay. The thought that comes to mind on this, because it seems like every month there's a modification to Hobart Marsh.
Yes.
Contingency, how much contingency did we have for that? And maybe, should that project be on our project tracker? Or is that one, how do we, not at all? Not even 25%?
We have an internal tracker for our projects to make sure that we're on budget, under budget, change orders mm-hmm. and stuff. So it's a, I mean, the Corps bid it out. I would, not to give
her. And maybe I've slept since then. Tom says we're not funding any of Hobart Marsh.
Right now it's all funded through credits that we've already accomplished. And the more times that she comes to the microphone or sends us a nice letter that says you've approved X amount more credits is always a good thing. So.
Right.
It's not at this point any dollars out of our pocket per se. That's already been, I guess, spoken for through purchases that we've done or administrative costs that we have or
so
utility
right now,
locations.
If all
so you can't write a check with credits, right? I mean, the contractors won't take that. So how does that piece work? Maybe for my edification.
They pay.
Yeah, we're paying.
Okay.
Right. So right now, if we were to close the project today with all the estimates as they are, we would owe you money, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's not
going to
happen.
Today. If it were today.
That's like giving change back to your parents. Yeah. That's never going to happen.
Correct.
Okay.
You know, we are trying to get to a point where just... No one owes anyone. So, I mean, you know, you have to acknowledge that all the credits may not come to fruition, you know.
Right.
Some may
right.
be too high. Some may not be able to support it. So it's good
we'll
have.
Take a check, though.
I know you will. I know you
will. Can always use that.
Happy yes. Gilmore.
With the Hobart Marsh also being so far ahead of schedule, are they still predicting to stay that far ahead? Or are they, you know, is the S-curve going to eventually flatten out and they'll still end up in 2022? Is this just the easy work, or what do we see from that standpoint? I guess you too.
Yeah, I mean, Derek's probably seen it more than I have. But
so, I mean, they are ahead of schedule. The heavy work is up front, and they are accomplishing that. So
they're slamming on the hard stuff.
Yeah. And speaking with the contractors, it seems like they are really focused. They have moved in their operation and set up shop locally. And so they've also staffed up. So I think their investment in the contractor's investment in the area is to do a lot of that hard work up front in these first 2 years. And then from that, determine how that restoration is going to make sure that they're meeting the specifications to be signed off on. So would you see that?
I agree. And that's the upfront part is really important, because we have seen mitigation contracts to fail because contractors are not aggressive enough in the first year, because thinking, oh, it's a 5-year deal, you know, we can make up time. But with these plantings, if you're not ahead, you know, then you can really fall behind. And I mean, we had to terminate contracts because we just know that they're not going to
never catch up.
Yeah, you can never catch up. So I appreciate the fact that they've come out here and they've really gone aggressive with trying to achieve the mitigation goals.
Okay. And then going back to my dollar question again, the contingency, sorry, Tom.
All right.
So if crediting doesn't come through, and you know, at some point, somewhere down the line, how much contingency are you guys planning for? Because we're at, what, 8%?
Yeah, I mean, typically we anticipate a 10% contingency. I mean, and you see, we're already
80% there.
Yeah, we're already there.
30% done with the project.
Right. Yeah. So this is a lot more cost growth than I'm happy to see. But one thing, you know, I did know a time ago is the Hawthorne, which was that AO002 modification, mm-hmm. which was planned to be a separate contract. So, I mean, that was $288,000, which kind of really bit into our contingency. But, I mean, it's better than awarding a whole new contract, preparing a full set of plans and specs, mobilizing a full contract. So we probably saved a lot more, even though it went into our contingency.
Okay. Understood.
Yeah.
You couldn't sort of reallocate potential funds from that other project and just increase the budget of this project to say, instead of 4.56, it was whatever, 4.9 or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. All set?
Tom.
All right.
Tom has something else.
Mr. Desdek? When they talk about additional gullies, what's the work that's associated with, why is there a change to the contract? What happens when they find extra gullies?
So, I mean, you know, it's just basically spots that have eroded away, that if we don't do something, they'll just continue to erode, and we won't be successful in meeting the goals. Derek, would you want to say something else?
Yeah, I think some of these additional gullies are actually found by the contractor. The contractor is concerned that
By the contractor?
No, not created by the contractor. They're located by the contractor, so they have been removing a lot of invasive shrubs and trees, which they wouldn't have been able to walk during a pre-bid or an inspection of some kind. So they removed these. We realize that there is soil erosion going on. The contractor is bringing them to the attention of the Army Corps because they're concerned that they won't meet the specifications of the Army Corps. If there was some sampling, there were random sample with erosion, they may not meet that. So that it's the contractor bringing it to the attention of the Corps. It's not the Corps necessarily saying, we didn't know this was here. Does that answer
yes.
your question?
Yes, thank you.
And every time they say, oh, we've got to change, know that I drill them as hard as you all drill me. Like, do we really need to do this, or can we just, live with it? Is it nice to have, or is it required to have? That's my question to them every time they
How many have you disapproved? How many change requests have you disapproved?
Not many, because it's always something that we have to have. So, but I mean, I definitely ask them, you know, think about it. This is your money. Would you purchase this, or would you do this if you had to fund it yourself?
You know, you're talking to contractors, right?
No, I'm talking to my team.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't ask the contractor.
And when was the LOMAR submitted to FEMA?
Do you know the date? October 6th.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I got the acknowledgement on October 17th.
Wow. Now, they told you they got it then?
Yeah, they just said they had it, and they'll come back to me with questions if they had any.
By what date?
90 days. Well, they didn't say by questions. They just said, yeah, that's their time frame.
Is it 90 days from the day they acknowledge it?
I would say from the day that they acknowledged it, yes.
Okay. Anything else, gentlemen? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next segment, other issues and new business. First item on the agenda in the new business, SEH for Lake Station Flood Mitigation Study in amount not to exceed $162,950. Mr.
Brepe. As we've talked about in previous meetings, the need or the want to study the confluence of the Little Calumet River and Deep River was always an issue, has been an issue, relating to how to better the flow as opposed to allowing it to back up. This study would help address that issue, as it would study all the way back to Grant Street on the west, all the way to County Line Road on Deep River to the east. Another important factor in this, and it was outlined in the study in June of, I think it was 15, when they initially did the study that was presented to us in Hobart. I remember it very well because the Blackhawks were on, and I think Craig's in this room, and he'll remember how our faces were cringing as we were trying to watch a Blackhawks game as the presentation went on its second hour. There was always a need to further investigate and determine the elevation that was needed to protect Lake Station and that neighborhood of 200 or so residents, the properties that we are trying to acquire now. And it's a necessity, because ultimately whoever designs that levee from Liverpool to the expressway will need to have this information. So this study that is in front of you today is a two-parter. I guess I probably should have started with the one that affects Lake Station first, and that is to ensure that the levee that we design, build, no matter who designs the levee, this part or component will have to be done to make sure that we've done it to the correct height. The second component has always been a rumbling, I guess, and that is being able to determine where our issues are and how to better address them as it relates to the tailwater and the confluence at Deep River and Little Calumet River. So this addresses both of them. And, you know, I know there's been some talk about continuing that study on potentially past the imaginary line of County Road. The reason why we stopped at the county line is our authorization stops there technically. But I think there's an argument made that water doesn't know a geographical boundary. And so that's something we can ask SEH. But if there's any other questions specifically, I know we talked about it in our pre-meeting, I'd be happy to answer it.
We're not. Act on this, or we're just going to...
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the proposal from SEH and move forward with subject to attorney review of entering into a contract for this project in an amount not to exceed...
$162,950.
Sorry. $162,950.
So I have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second. Discussion, gentlemen?
So in the pre-meeting, we discussed the potential of expanding this study. If we act on it today, does that compromise our the timing or complicate maybe the timing of expanding this study? Because if we expand the study, it's going outside of our official jurisdiction, right?
Well, I think that's all subject to interpretation. I think you could make the argument that the water doesn't just stop at County Line Road, that it needs to go to Burns Ditch, ultimately Lake Michigan. So I don't think I'm not an attorney, but I would assume that you could make that argument. I don't think that that would prevent this to go forward if, you know, we had to amend it at a later date, so long as you understood that that was a potential and with some financial constraints what that would cost. But I imagine since the mobilization's already there, adding a couple, some stretch of river, I don't think is going to exasperate the price, right? I mean, I'm sure Craig is nodding again behind my back. I love not being able to see the public. I'm just guessing at their reactions.
I was just thinking of it from the standpoint of almost the opposite of what you said, is that if you add a change order later, it might actually add more than if you actually...
No, incorporate it now. Like, exactly. Making it part of the motion to say, we'll see, pursue how far it goes to there. If it's exorbitant amount, then you pass.
Do we amend the motion? Because the study, as it is, stops wherever it stops, right?
It stops at County Line Road the way the proposal is written.
I think the intent to get this information is probably something that's long overdue for us to see, you know, how this whole thing reacts at that point, especially with what we're doing with the Deep River stuff and the stuff in Lake Station.
I mean, I would think that we could make an amendment or a change order to the contract at some point to incorporate an expanded scope, but I don't know if it's necessary to
slow things down now.
Yeah,
and you did say subject to, you know, council advice, so it's noted in the public record that that's a concern that we have, so we can add that to council's advice or make sure that's covered before we get too far down the line. I'm okay.
So we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I have another question. Sure. For Mr. Repay. Mr. Repay, did you go over the boundaries? I know in the pre-meeting we talked about as far west.
As far west as Grant Street, as far east as it sits now, County Line Road, but ultimately I would foresee it to be
Lake Michigan.
And then as far south, is it's beyond Liverpool, and I can't...
So I say Grand Boulevard.
There you go. Thank you.
Grand Boulevard.
That runs north south. Which Grand Boulevard?
It probably runs east west.
The one I know. The one in Gary runs.
Stream on Deep River to Grand Boulevard.
The other one. There's another one.
It's beyond Liverpool. It's probably the next street beyond there. I'm sorry, I don't know the everything, but that's as far as south as it goes. As far, I guess, east and north would be Lake Michigan, and as far west would be Grant Street.
Okay. So it, although it says, you know, SEH for the Lake Station flood mitigation study, it's actually encompassing some areas right outside that actually influence the Lake Station area.
The key component was to make sure that we were building the levee, and then we sort of added on the discussion that you guys have had over the past several meetings about looking at the confluence and seeing how it reacts and how we may be able to improve it. So that's the title of it, but in the digest of it, it clarifies those boundaries as to what will be studied.
One other question. Have we given you authority to make certain changes up to a certain amount? I can't remember what it is. Because if we add more to this, that number is going to go up probably.
But that will also be subject to the attorney, and we would then probably just do a email to you saying all it's right. X.
Okay.
You still all right with it?
And then we're still providing guidance on it.
Sure, yeah.
Good enough.
Okay. Anything else, Levon?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do a call, roll call vote.
Tom Wyszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnecks?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos? Yes. LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Staying.
All right. Mr. Baker's come back into the room. I'll pass the gavel right back to him.
All right, next item is a request from Town of Munster on a SCADA system proposal in amount not to exceed $50,000. Mr. Repay.
Currently, the Town of Munster has no way to monitor the running or the fuel being consumed at their backup generators that they implemented at all their stations throughout the town. We spoke with the City of Hammond. Their SCADA system, we were trying to link them together. Their SCADA system is a little bit different and, lack of a better word, live, which wouldn't be something that they would be willing to do, and that means give the controls or give the ability to control pump stations to an outside party. So at this time, it was best that we we allow Munster to monitor those backup generators. They've had a situation in the last 6 months where a backup generator was started or was utilized. It ran out of fuel and no one really knew because it was not a sunny day, but it was raining, but there was no power. And for whatever reason, I never got the answer why the power was lost at the station, but it was generating the power to run that station and it ran out of gas. So that's where it sort of started from. And so if it's not to exceed $50,000, they would be able to implement the SCADA. We would be able to view it only, which is great. We don't want to control them. And then, you know, in the event that the backup generator is needed, it sets up our secondary motion as far as operation and maintenance, and that is to make sure that diesel fuel is provided to those backup generators. So they are continually running. We have a similar situation on our own pumps that were approved, I believe, last month or the month previous. So this falls right in line with that.
Okay, any questions with regards to this one from Mr. Repay?
Mr. Repay, how does this propose? So we got a proposal for the SCADA system. How does this proposal differ from pre-existing SCADA proposals? Is it the same as the one that we installed or approved elsewhere?
Similar from the standpoint of it, you know, you can monitor remotely. I could more than likely probably pick up my phone and see what I need to see to make sure the pumps are running, as opposed to physically going out to the station. These are being proposed simply for their backup generators that they installed, you know, in 09, 10. We only have one backup generator. So it's not for the pump stations itself. Ours will determine, hey, pump one, pump two are both working at Burr North. We're good. We're fine. It's running. There's power. This is simply to say your backup generator is running and your fuel level is X. So they know how many hours of life they have on that, on the generator. So that's the only thing. I mean, the same or the similarity is it will tell you things remotely that you don't have to send someone out to make sure your pump stations or your backup generator is running. The difference is ours are mainly focused on our pumps, with the only exception is we only have one backup generator. This is strictly backup generation. Hammond Sanitary has their own SCADA on the pump stations themselves to make sure that they're running.
And are these generators permanent mounted or are they towable?
Permanently mounted.
Okay. And I'm assuming, of course, that they're compatible, even though they're 2009, that they're compatible with the SCADA system to be able to help them to interface. And
yeah, they actually sought proposals, and they had three submissions, and the one that they're going with was the cheapest, and they've dealt with them before on other SCADA systems that they've implemented in the town.
Okay.
Most economical.
Cheapest.
That's all, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anybody else? Now, you're going to have a read-only on this? executive director of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission?
Correct. And we ultimately want to put it on our website so that it's accessible so people can see, hey, look, the backup generator is running. Right. There's no secret or national security secret to that. So anybody that wants the information, So the gauges that we put into our SCADA system, you know, it will all be read-only. There's no, I have no problem with that.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. So there's this out there, gentlemen. So we either have to take an action. We don't have to take any action, but we need to do something. So what do y'all want to do?
Are we still in discussion?
Sure.
So the town of Munster graciously provided all of the documentation and backup documentation for what they had to consider, but I don't see a conclusion as to who they said they were going with. But yeah. Bottom line is they're asking for $50,000, which is a small portion, a minor portion of the total cost to install the SCADA system. That's my takeaway. Is that
the SCADA system going to Novatech? It's set in there. It's buried in all that. The $50,000 is simply for the hardware. We're not paying for the training. We're not paying for little laptops or the
right.
things like that. That's all on them.
Okay.
This is simply the hardware to implement it, to put it in style, and then they are responsible for the ongoing maintenance of it going, you know, from now to whenever. It's like $200 a station for, you know, a year. And that's probably, I would imagine, cellular charges are involved in that.
This is just the upfront cost.
This is just the upfront cost to purchase the SCADA and install it into the backup generators.
I mean, this is essentially just like one of those watershed application projects. In effect,
truly. Right? And the thing is, and I was going to mention this, you know, unless it's changed, and I don't think it's changed, unless you want to change it, is that generally, bless you, is that communities that are on the little Cal or directly, they don't go through the application process because of the clear need of what it is. You know, if it's a big ask, you know, you've got Griffith, not to pick on Griffith, but they came in for a large ask.
Right.
That's a big number that should be sort of vetted through. But when you're talking $50,000, not that $50,000 isn't a lot of money.
Oh, I understand.
But when you're dealing with something that could, it's ultimately going to save man hours of actually going around, driving around to each one of these to make sure that they're not running.
Yeah, I was just saying that's the nature of this. It's just a request for cash.
Right. I mean, we do it right now or have done it where storms come through. Hey, is Grant Street working? Drive out to Grant Street,
right.
And you're going to see it as opposed to power of technology.
Same so, Mr. Chair, earlier.
I move that we accept the Town of Munster's proposal for SCADA system and the amount not to exceed, to fund the SCADA system proposal in an amount not to exceed $50,000.
I'll second. Motion and a second. Any more discussion on that? Either none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gosdecky.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnecks.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. Modern technology. Next, approval of Lake County Parks Watershed application. Mr. Ripe, a little brief synopsis, please. I have a tough time with those names, sorry.
Well, I'm not going to try them. I'd probably get in trouble if I started pronouncing some of those. These are the applications that the Lake County Parks came to us with a presentation at our October meeting to purchase two pieces of property, one off of 30 and one off of Oak Ridge Prairie. I got that right. I was pretty happy. They have done all the legwork. They have the appraisals. They did the title work. They actually went out and sought grants to help with the purchase of this property. These properties are adjacent to existing properties that they already own or are owned by other like property owners. And the good thing is this property, the way it was purchased, will always be a perpetual easement to not develop it. And so they are seeking the money for two purchases. one for $82,250 and one for $11,625.
Okay, so are we going to do those as one or separate? Is there a Robert's rule for that, Mr. Wicklin?
Either way.
All right, let's do them together. So,
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the Lake County Parks Watershed applications, plural, for the Tsertsis land acquisition and Curtis Kostakis land acquisition, and the combined amount, I'm going to do the math here quickly, $93,875.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion as it relates to this?
Mr. Chair, I just want to reiterate the fact that the presentation that the Lake County Parks Department representative gave, they actually presented funding support from various entities. You know, they really took their time and did a lot of thorough research and sought funding, which, you know, is always a positive thing when they come before a request for funds. So, and then it's a, you know, the application on the other part, you know, it really, really helps us in terms of, you know, us not having to necessarily do some of the legwork associated with land acquisition as well. So I certainly see it as a good application.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? All right. Motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. About that. All right. Next one up is a proposal on area solutions. As it relates to some background on this, we've talked about it numerous months, Mr. Repe, but a brief overview.
Most of you enjoyed my presentation when I finally got it to work on the aerial solutions flyover, which they did a small segment of it from Martin Luther King to Harrison Avenue. Previous meetings, probably a couple months ago, the number was $80,000+ for a more advanced technical flyover. Because of its proximity to Gary Airport and the licensed pilots needed and the certain licenses you need to be able to fly it that close to an airport with a control tower. So it scaled back, and I'm going to lose. It was 30-some thousand, and I just had it. So
38,500.
It has now been revised to 38.5 from state line to 65. And that will give you a general idea of what we have. It's almost a prime time to do it now because of the leaves falling and the snow coming Friday. And so I would ask, you know, once again, this could be the third or fourth time this has been on the agenda, but we've got what we need to be, and that's just a general one. And this is a tool for our operation and maintenance thing. So that's all I have right now.
Okay. Questions? Motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the proposal from Aerial Solutions in the amount of $38,500.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion as it relates to what we're going to try to accomplish with this? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. When's the first time we might see an opportunity here, looking at this thing, you know, Dan, some kind of feedback from them?
It says 30 days. I would suspect, I mean, they're only looking at 12 days of flying time for collection of the data. They did... Just to give you an idea, they did Harrison to Grant in Harrison to Martin Luther King in July with heavy brush in two weekends for 12 hours apiece. So if you break it down, I mean, I would imagine if you signed it, I got it to them, I got to imagine that they would start certainly before Thanksgiving, and that the drone that they use can fly in up to 35 mile per hour winds. So I don't think we're going to have too much of an issue with that weather, so as long as it doesn't snow.
Let's do it when it's sunny. All right.
It's a roundabout answer to your question, but I would say we would see something around Christmas.
Okay. Well, I'll get a drone. All right. Next up is land management license agreements.
Mr. Chairman, we seem to be in the collection of property, and I think in the best interests of the Little Calumet River, I would like to make a motion that the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission utilize license agreements as the only acceptable method of transferring control of development for all properties owned by the commission.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Boy, let's have some discussion on this.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. We didn't add this to the agenda.
Land management license agreements.
I'm looking at maybe another agenda then. Okay.
Because I don't see it on my agenda either.
It was sent out.
Oh, it was passed out.
And well, pass it here.
Okay.
Oh, that's it. That's
the new one. Top. That's all right.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
That's
all right.
No, you pulled it out.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anybody else not see one?
No. One new one.
I got a mess on
me. No. Okay.
So having some, the discussion having to do with, licenses and that's being a way to deal with land owned by the commission. Examples have been farming. Another example has been billboards. So this is setting an official method. Now remember, like since we've been here, there's been a lot of issues that have not been resolved, set forth, put forth. And there's been a lot of discussion with regards to how this is going to be addressed moving forward. So this is one idea.
I would like the motion to be reread. The words are important, right? And since this is sort of a new-ish topic, I think it was a late addition to the agenda. I think it should be reread so we can process it.
Mrs. Lambert?
I don't have the...
We have to replay it off the recorder.
Well, yeah. I could tell you what I said. I made a motion that the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission utilize license agreements as the only acceptable method of transferring control of development for all properties owned by the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission. And actually, I didn't say that. I said by the commission.
Transfer and control of development.
So maybe a transfer and control should be modified, and I've amended the motion to say that we utilize.
I just wanted to hear it.
License agreements is the only acceptable method of development. I would defer to our attorney.
I think that's fine. What you're saying effectively is you're not going to entertain proposals to outright sell the property. Rather, a license being like 50 years, a 99-year license, like you said in your motion, I think that gives up control, but the title and ownership would remain in the commission.
Okay.
And if that's what you think.
Right, and the phrase I was thinking through is transfer and control of development. So we would transfer, in some case, right, control of what another entity could do on the property, but we would still own the property.
Right.
Or what they could do to develop the property.
Exactly.
And does that mean they have sole control?
Well, I think we could probably...
That would be in each agreement.
Would do whatever the agreement, whatever I think it protects the best interests of the commission.
Yeah, you would, at the time of the execution of the license, determine what conditions may apply.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes, sir.
I have to disagree with Mr. Grzecki on his presentation regarding the land management. since I just saw this, I think it leads to more discussion. And second, I think is because the attorney still is waiting for more information as far as regards to any titles that we own, if we own the land or not. and with it, and if there's any historical issues that goes along with the land. This particular topic here is dear to me for the mere fact because it's going to incur or increase economic development for the city of Gary. And this is what this particular proposal is basically aimed at. And so, you know, I don't think we should vote on this tonight. I think we should discuss it more and come up with a, you know, solution that for the whole community of Northwest Indiana, especially for the city of Gary.
Well, this doesn't have anything to do with any proposal. This has to do with property that we own and how we move forward with that property. And I think, like I stated, that no matter what the property is, that we do not ever, my intent is to not make it available for sale. It's available for a license agreement, but we control and own the property. I just think it's the best way to protect it.
And maybe you gentlemen can answer the question. If someone controlled a piece of land for, let's just say, hypothetically, 99-year lease, they can still utilize the land, they can still develop the land, they can still, you know, put a building on the land or do other stuff with land.
If they don't have an ownership
in the land. But does it preclude them from doing something with the land?
Well, my question is that, you know, we can buy property. If we buy property, we can sell property.
That's not a true statement.
I mean, well, that's
we don't have the authority to make that. You can't even make that statement.
Well, we do buy property.
But that doesn't necessarily give you the right to sell property.
I know, but I'm just saying, if we buy, we can sell.
But I'm saying that's not true.
Well, it's true to me. And the only what I'm saying here,
you didn't write the statute.
But it's right that we don't have the right to. We have to interpret it. This particular statute. Right now, we are in the fertile ground. We are discussing situations that's going to affect hundreds of thousands of people in the city of Gary, and that's because this particular there are contractors now and there are developers now looking at this particular property, hopefully to put up some type of facility that's going to hire over 400 people and put them to work. So I think that, and as far as developers are concerned, they're not going to, no financial institution is really going to be funding a major project, mass project, for any kind of a 99-year lease or 50-year lease. They're looking for ownership, and that's basically it. That's the common law of financing and development.
I mean, the toll roads were leased for 99 years.
Well, that's
by the state, right?
That's best
okay.
By the state.
All right, well, we heard your piece. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Again, I was not aware of it as an agenda item. I know I got an updated agenda, and I tried in the pre-meeting here, and I tried to compare apples to apples, and I didn't see that as an item. I'm certainly not favorable. One of our charges, our objective charge, of course, is watershed management. For, you know, areas for folks that pay into the watershed. And this particular area right here is, you know, actually falls into one of those categories. It's in Gary and it's in one of those types of locations. Be it all that the commission does own the property. However, my reservation is, just a little bit of background to this is we had a contractor that had an interest in it. I'm sorry, we had a developer that had an interest in it, and the developer interest, you know, was predicated, of course, upon being able to receive the property and whatever mutual conversations that they needed to have with the city of Gary and Little Calumet as the owner of the property and whatever was necessary to actually catapult it and actually, you know, get it accomplished. And it is a prudent project, and one of our secondary charges, I'll put it that way, is economic development. I guess you can say it's a derivative of our initial charge. And we have had economic development that has occurred across Northwest Indiana, Lake County, as a result of us implementing projects here. You look at Kennedy Avenue, You can look at I-65 as, you know, a project as well, one that we're receiving credits for. It's not every time that you may actually get a project like this, and there may be other interests from other applicants as well that have submitted interest for that particular project, parcel of land as well. And whether or not they have the same return or benefit, I don't know. But I know this one in particular definitely has that opportunity to develop not only a municipality, provide jobs, but also spur some economic development further into the city of Gary, which of course in turn helps other small businesses in the area. And long term, of course, any company, you know, if you own a lemonade stand or whether you own a steel manufacturing company, you would want to be able to control your destiny by controlling the real estate that you set up on. And it makes it a little bit harder for a company to be able to do that if they don't own it. The second thing I want to add to that is that we haven't, I think because that, you know, if this company had not come to, if the interest from that particular company developer had not come to light, and if no one had an interest and was pursuing it as aggressively, I don't know if we would be at the point of actually saying, let's put this particular motion forward for land management license agreement. Not that we don't have current licenses, you know, with billboards that sit on properties that we own. But this one was a little bit different in the context that it was acres of land that would be disposed of, conveyed in the process. And so for us to now sort of flip the script and put this wedge in place to actually the 99 lease agreement or whatever it looks like, this license agreement at this particular time, it's concerning for me. And then again, I'm just getting, you know, insight and finding out about it. I don't necessarily disagree with the premise of it, of the motion, but in terms of where things are and, you know, other folks who've already taken an interest in this, I think that there may be necessity for probably more discussion, or at minimum to see what exactly is the Corps' position on whether or not they see this as a piece of land that would be something that they would say don't sell. Or 3 years from now, we think that, you know, based on our observation of it, we come to the conclusion right now that it's something that we would not want back. We're okay with you guys disposing of it or conveying it. So, and we don't have that information right now.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Go ahead,
Tim.
A couple of thoughts on it. Obviously, at some point in time, we the commission and the people before us were instructed to secure certain properties for the purpose of putting up the levees and maintaining the levees. And my concern, or one of my concerns, is we acquired this property and obviously was for a purpose. And now there's a discussion that, you know, we may move this property off our books to somebody else's books. And obviously my concern is we acquired it for a reason. So to transfer a title on a certain piece of property that we already hold title to is concerning to me down the road. We've had other issues or other entities come to us to do utilize properties that we own, and they had no problem doing agreements, long-term licensing agreements. And I think to protect our interests, I think that's a prudent way to go, because then ultimately we still own that piece of land, and if God forbid 10-15 years down the road someone comes back and says you got to reacquire that land, I don't know if we want to be in a position, or put the people behind us in a position to do something like that. That's just, those are my concerns.
Thank you. Mr. Broadnax.
I can certainly appreciate the interest in the initiative with the developer and moving things forward for the city of Gary. That's my hometown as well. And I can understand the concern about a seemingly quick decision to sort of, you know, block a potential sale. But I do think that at the end of the day, our charter is, you know, to prevent flooding, and then and our secondary charter really is recreational, not necessarily economic development. Not to say that we shouldn't look for opportunities to leverage what we can do, as we have done, and we've been spending the people's money pretty prudently and pretty wisely, I think, throughout. And to Commissioner Whitaker's point, there's some things that we still don't know. And one of those things is, I guess the point was made a couple of times that, you know, you can't develop a piece of property that has a lease on it. You know, I think to some degree those are understandably emotional comments, because it can be done. I know, you know, the University of Chicago redeveloped the whole neighborhood using ground leases. So I know it can be done. And I don't think it's our place as a commission to presuppose and, you know, extrapolate all of the financial considerations that any particular developer or other entity might have as a concern or a restriction, you know, where it concerns our land. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you own it and it's not for sale, you have the right to say that. And to Commissioner Wichlinski's point, I do agree that, you know, things change with regulations from the Corps. And, you know, we talked about what land that we didn't need initially, now we do need, or that we did need before, now we don't need. Things change. So it would cause me greater concern to let go of a piece of property that's right near the levee. Because the other, and the last point I would make is that, you know, if we approve this motion today, it doesn't mean that we can't reconsider it in the future. At least that's my understanding. You know, things get repealed, right? And I don't know if that's a true statement, Mr. Wicklin. But
I'd have to follow up, but generally the answer is yes.
Right. So I would be more concerned about selling a piece of property. So that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I mean, my two cents is we're defining what's been happening here for quite some time, and just putting it in the record. So there's a motion and a second. I'm calling for a vote. Roll call. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wichlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
No.
LaVon Whitaker.
No.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, next is statements from the floor, my favorite. If you want to help us with this, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and help us make sure something like that doesn't happen again, please. You look official.
Good evening, gentlemen. Tom Silich, Hobart Trustee, 3820 Road Street. It's been a little while, probably a year and a half. 2 years since I've been up here. I know I've been up here more, but about 10 days ago we got started with a piece of equipment on I-65 and started on the west side for Turkey Creek Lateral 6. And we have accomplished our mission as of today. We have broke through the culvert under the railroad tracks and are now pushing out about 1.5 million gallons an hour down Turkey Creek. Now, this is about a half a decade of water and has washed out farmers and kept the water table up really high in this area in the West End for a long time, behind the cemetery, the schools, and everywhere. So as we speak now, I was on the tracks for the last 2 days And we came through the cemetery today, and the silt that was built up in that 3-foot pipe was incredible. I mean, and I want to thank Mr. Repay. It was me and a one-man contractor that did this job. And when you go up by 65 now, and you see where the railroad tracks, and you see that big lake that was out there from Liverpool Road to I-65, it will be gone. I figure within the next 3 to 4 days, it went down about 2 inches an hour. So there's, I don't know how many acres are there, and I saw something there that I am glad that the little Cal helped me with the project. I chair the Lake County Advisory Board for Bill Emerson, the surveyor. He was out there with us. This has been an issue that I've lived in Hobart all my life, 60 years, and this is probably one of the greatest days of my life, just to see that happen. So. And it can work, and what we did was the right way. We started from the west, from Bailey Elementary School over there on Georgia Street, and got permission from the Army Corps to go on there. And if you guys will see within the next week, if you drive up I-65 before you 8094 or Highway 6 as I call it, that water will be gone. And it's really remarkable to see something like this happen, because it's, water has to go somewhere, like we all know, and this is going into Lake Michigan in a roundabout way. It all goes there. So once again, I want to thank you, and I think we need to give you guys a round of applause, because you guys never get that. So at this time, I want to give a round of applause to the Little Cal Commission, because I want to thank you for a little bit of help that you helped me with. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad to see it, because I drove past it, Tom, all the time, and kept asking the question, why is that swamp there?
Right. And that's what it was, the swamp. It came from the sky. And it had in one pipe on all that water.
Well, better, we've got to be vigilant, because I know there's beavers over that way.
Well, we got them sleeping right now. We got them sleeping. Right.
Thank you for the help with that, Tom. That was a team effort, without doubt. Anybody else? Either or not, next meeting,
top that.
Believe it or not, we're talking about December, and it's December 13th. Thank you again for participating. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, thank you very much, everyone.